Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host, Mike Dempsey.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. Mike Dempsey in. Fat Tony's got the day off as he travels up to Indianapolis along with Frank Frangie and Rick Ballew for 1010 XL's coverage of the NFL Scouting Combine, which will get underway in earnest tomorrow. But today, we'll travel up to Indy via the miracle of telephone technology and talk with John Osier from Jaguars.com, the senior writer who is boots on the ground in Indianapolis, and we'll get the layout of what you can expect coverage-wise from the team this week and kind of what the schedule is in terms of when Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell, and others of interest to you may be speaking. You heard, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, Blake Bortles speaking on the drill this morning. We got a chance to catch up with him out at the Super Bowl, but he announced the institution of the Blake Bortles Foundation and the first ever event that they're going to hold is a charity golf tournament. We'll give you all the details on that if you missed it, but it's certainly all out there for you. And it was interesting listening to what Blake had to say about, you know, hey, kind of part of the deal when you come to the NFL is you need to do something charitable. You know, I don't think that's the case with everybody. I don't think everyone feels that way. I think when you're the starting quarterback, however, of a National Football League thing, that's probably more what he was alluding to.
And the job gives you the platform and the ability yes. to do so.
Well, and if you're the kind of person, most quarterbacks, most guys don't get to be a quarterback at a high level unless they have some kind of leadership skills, right? You can't have a total jerk. Some total jerks have gotten by on talent, but they usually don't maximize that talent. It gets them an opportunity. It might keep them around in the league for a while, but the great ones seem to have it. Even if they are not always the easiest guys to get along with, a la, at least from afar, it appeared Dan Marino would, you know, it was never Dan's fault. It was always somebody else's fault. And that may have been the case, but he didn't mind hanging out to dry publicly and letting you know it. And, you know, gesturing and being demonstrative in your face on the sidelines and all these different things. But most quarterbacks, even Dan Marino, certainly exuded tons of leadership. You can be a bit of a jackass and still have leadership ability. And I think that's part of the deal. If you want to be a true face of the franchise, if you want to embrace that aspect of it, I think part of that is, you know, taking your platform and using it for something good. I'm not saying you have to donate your personal money, but donate a little bit of your time. That's fantastic. You don't have to do it. I think what Blake is saying in a roundabout way is that, you know, the guys who get it are the ones who buy into this, that they're going to give back, whether it's through their own foundation or just giving some time and lending their name to some charitable endeavors. So we'll talk about that a little bit as we go along today. Also get into the question of the day. Don't know how much interest there'd be in any of these guys, vets at various stages of their career, but certainly some big names with some big salaries got cleared off the books for the St. Louis Rams over the course of the weekend. You got James Laurinaitis, who's been their leading tackler since he got to St. Louis a few years back now. It's going back a while. He, of course, what is he, the son of the Ultimate Warrior? Is that what his dad was in wrestling, Tyler? I'm counting on you to know that.
I have no idea.
No, seriously, he's like his dad. You've heard of the Ultimate Warrior, right? The wrestler, the
yes,
Ultimate Warrior?
Yes,
he's no. I think that was Laurinaitis' dad. I'm almost positive that was who his dad was. I know he's a pro wrestler, but regardless, Laurinaitis, Chris Long, Howie's kid, who, as he said, played like poop for the last 2 years, but he didn't use the word poop. He used another word that I never say.
Shizzle.
Shizzle, I believe shizzle. It was. I played like a shizzle. And Jared Cook, who probably, when you talk about, Jag fans or the franchise having interest in a guy, you know, I think they could add a tight end, certainly this offseason, but I think they would look to have a more balanced player. I think you look at Julius Thomas and you say that is your pass-catching tight end. Doesn't mean Julius Thomas is never going to block anyone, but that's a guy that you hope can rack up maybe 80 receptions and score double-digit touchdowns for you and do those kind of things. And you're not going to, you know, with Allen Robinson, with Allen Hurns, with hopefully Marquise Lee and Rashad Green contributing with a healthy season all year long from Julius Thomas, there's not going to be too many other receptions to go around other than some dump downs to the running back. So you're not looking to bring in necessarily a tight end, in my opinion, that's going to catch 40 or 50 passes. Jared Cook has remarkable athletic ability, but has never really shown the consistency to move towards being a high-end tight end in the National Football
League. I feel like he's hurt a lot, too.
He is. It's a weird thing. He's had some huge games for St. Louis, pretty few and far between, but just can't seem to follow them up and never really was consistently part of the game plan and often got outplayed by Lance Kendricks there in St. Louis. So big number. Look, here's the thing too, Tyler. Jags have all this cap space, right? Well, look what the Rams did to create $23 million in cap space overnight, right? I mean, everyone's got cap space. And, everyone wants the flexibility to chase some of these guys. And you've already seen some stories over the last 24 hours that there will be contenders lining up to take a look at Chris Long. And, look what Dwight Freeney did last year for the Arizona Cardinals at a much more advanced age. And look, Freeney was a better player than Chris Long ever was. But Chris Long, just a couple of years ago, pretty damn effective pass rusher in the National Football League and has been solid against the run, anecdotally at least, as I recall reading, stories about his play in St. Louis. Didn't watch the Rams, wasn't locked into them, you may be surprised to find out, over the last 6-7 years or what have you. But, Dwight Freeney came in as a situational part-time pass rusher, wasn't signed to be the star with the Arizona Cardinals, and was very effective at the age of 36. So Chris Long, about 5-6 years younger than that, is maybe in a position where he becomes part of a defensive end rotation for a team. And the question is then, how much are you going to pay for that kind of position? And if you're the Jags, knowing that there may be contenders in the mix, if you were to be interested in Chris Long, how much are you willing to outspend some other team by? And do you really have the ability to outspend everybody, with everyone else having the ability to create their own cap space with the cap rising the way it has over the last few years? There's a lot of money out there available to spend on free agency in the National Football League. We'll talk about that a little bit as we go along today. The Dante Fowler video, that's not really the Dante Fowler video. It's the Dante Fowler's significant women in his lives video, in his life video, that TMZ posted. It was, by the way, the date on that, I believe, was February 1st. So we'll talk about that a little bit as well as we go along. If you want to get in on the program today, 641-1010 is the phone number. The fan feedback question of the day is this. As a Jag fan, are you interested? Would you like to see the Jags pursue, or at least look into, James Laurinaitis, Chris Long, Jared Cook, to come in here and be a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars? You can tweet me at MD_1010XL, tweet at 1010XL Tyler. And, of course, the Jaguars Today Facebook page is open for business as well. 641-1010, both the phone number and the text line. Hop on board Jaguars Today, just kicking off here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars have four defensive backs standing on the goal line in a three-man rush, and four linebackers up in front. Straight drop. Chris Clemons is going to get there, and he's going to finish him off. They are going to finish him off. Sendiri Marks gets the half sack he needed. What a way to end the ball game. Jacksonville wins it 21-13.
Show me the money, Dave Caldwell. That's what Derek Marks was saying after he picked up that sack to reach his milestone. And happy birthday, big man. 29 years young today for Derek Marks, who just 2 years ago was, to me, the MVP of the team, the best player on the Jacksonville Jaguars for the 2014 season. So you still have that hope in the back of your mind. Look, he tore the ACL at the end of the season and, was not on the field or early part, injured. Just, it's kind of a lost year in 2015. But you don't expect the best football to be played in the first year back from an ACL injury anyway. So I'm still optimistic that Derek Marks is young enough.
Do you think he rushed back too early? I think he should have been more conservative with his rehab, or do you think he kind of treated it right and just never really got back to his form, I guess?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think he was starting to round into form when he got hurt again a little bit. At least that was the feeling from some of the people in the building. I don't think these guys rush back nowadays. They've got their contracts. He wasn't in a place where he was, a rookie struggling to make the roster. He was a valuable piece of this football team, and while he knew his teammates needed him out there, I think the turnaround time for ACLs, it's just a different time period, different dynamic. What was he out there, like basically 10 months or so, 9.5 months after he hurt the ACL to begin with? That seems to be in that 9-month range. Seems to be where a lot of guys fall now.
First game October 18th against the Texans. So yeah,
right. So about 10, yeah, maybe 10.5 months, right around there, or something like that. So I don't think that's in today's day and age. If you see Adrian Peterson come back as quick as he did and had the season he did, we understand.
Well, he's an anomaly. He's a freak.
Right.
There's no.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
His body is an exception, but others do come back and play. Now, again, they're usually more effective their second year back. And a lot of that, I think, has to do with the psychology of it. You know, you've gotten through that season of doubt. Is this thing going to hold up? And you kind of put it behind you, and it starts to feel a little bit more normal. But regardless, happy 29th to Derek Marks. We'll talk about his teammate on the defensive line, although they've yet to line up together. And that's Dante Fowler Jr. We're talking about that TMZ video coming up, and get your reaction to that if you care to weigh in on that as well. Right now, phone lines are open to you at 641-1010. Obviously, a lot of wrestling fans in the audience, Tyler, because I got a flood of replies that he was not the ultimate warrior, Laurinaitis' dad. He was the animal, which was half of the Road Warrior duo, the tag team duo, I believe is what they were. So he was Animal. His father was, not to be confused with Animal the drummer, but Animal from the Road Warriors. Regardless, professional wrestler dad for James Laurinaitis. So there you have it. Thank you.
I think he's the Rams' all-time leading tackler too, right?
If he's not, I don't off the top of my head know who would be, you know. But certainly, I mean, the guy has basically played middle linebacker for him since he walked into the league, right?
And yes, started 6 straight years of 100-plus sack or 100-plus tackles.
Right, and I saw a stat the other day. I forget what the thresholds were in terms of number of sacks, number of interceptions. I think the interceptions were 10, and maybe the sacks were 15. He's the only guy in the league since he came in with that combination of, you know. So at times he's been a very effective player, both as a blitzer, as a coverage guy. I know some of the services like Pro Football Focus rated him very poorly amongst inside linebackers this year. And I'm not saying he's, you know, look, even if you brought him in, even if you felt he was an upgrade on Paul Posluszny, I think it's marginal. Maybe the biggest upgrade would be in coverage. He's a smidge younger, but it's not like, you know, the idea of getting – a Miles Jack in the draft, as we've discussed the possibility of, and maybe figuring out a way to play him for a year, and then after 2016 have him be the heir apparent
right
in the middle.
Laurinaitis, you know, by the way, is just a little bit less than 2 years younger than Paul Posluszny is.
So call it 2 years, you know. So, you know, there's probably some value to somebody in there with James Laurinaitis. I don't think he's particularly the guy I'd be most interested in here in Jacksonville. But you can weigh in on that if you choose to. Laurinaitis, Chris Long, Jared Cook all released some at least recognizable names being let go by the Rams over the weekend. They're immediate free agents, by the way. If you have time left on your deal and you get released as a veteran, you're immediately a free agent. Once you've been in the league, I think 4 years, you're free to sign with anybody else. Whereas, you know, if your contract expires, you've got to wait to the official opening of free agency. So teams, I'm sure, will be talking to the agents for these players at the Combine this upcoming week. 641-1010, the number. Let's go to the south side and welcome Gary in to start us off this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, with the latest development with the Cowboys and the Jags being mostly associated with Ramsey and Bosa, I think now there's a good possibility that both of them could be off the board by the time the Jags pick. Would they more than take the next best available player on their board or move down and acquire an extra pick? Thank you.
All right, thank you, Gary. You know, it's an interesting point, I think, because I actually was thinking about this weekend with news of Randy Gregory coming out and, you know, getting suspended. And now, you know, you got to feel like, can the Cowboys count on him? This is why, you know, he had some issues with the decision-making, obviously, heading into the NFL draft. At one point, he was talked about as a potential top 10 pick and fell to the Cowboys in the second round. And while they didn't get much out of him in his rookie season, that often happens with guys, particularly, you know, if you're not a top pick and you're acclimating yourself to the National Football League, often guys don't make a major impact in the first season. I'm sure they were expecting a big step forward in year two. And right now they probably think, we can't count on this guy. If I'm the Cowboys, I don't touch Greg Hardy. If I'm a team in the National Football League, I don't touch Greg Hardy. And I don't think his production on the field, which was decent for a stretch but really fell off as the season went along, merits the headache of putting up with a guy who has, you know, done what he's done in terms of domestic assault or violence or however that you want to put it. And I understand that he faces no longer any legal jeopardy, but he was found guilty initially and reversed on appeal by the system that they have in North Carolina. And I think, you know, what happened, it was reversed because the initial accuser failed to show up because most people feel he bought her off, and that's why – she didn't continue to press charges against him. So, look, I think Greg Hardy's a piece of a junk, and Randy Gregory can't be counted on right now if you're the Cowboys. I think Joey Bosa, you'll start to see him go in more and more mock drafts to the Dallas Cowboys right now. So I think when you talk about could Ramsey and Bosa be off the board, absolutely they both could be off the board. I think that's been a possibility for a while, even before this Randy Gregory thing. For the Jags, I think, back to your initial question, Gary, the philosophy that's been espoused by Dave Caldwell has been you don't get the opportunity to draft in the top five or the top 10 very often, hopefully. Although the Jags have made a habit of it, right, over the last 4 years. But when you're there, you've got to take advantage and you've got to find difference-making players. Otherwise, you've got to be overwhelmed by the package of compensation that comes your way. So, well, I think they'd be open to trading down. Let's say, if, you know, and we don't know. For all we know, Ramsey and Bosa won't be the top two guys on their board or their wish list, you know, and throw Tunsil out of the mix. Maybe they like DeForest Buckner better. Maybe they think he's a better fit. Maybe Miles Jack. Maybe it's Noah Spence even, who they spent a lot of time with at the Senior Bowl. And maybe they're comfortable with his off-field issues being in the past and love that explosive pass-rushing talent. Maybe it's somebody we're not even talking about.
Yeah, Mel Kiper said this morning that the Cowboys could possibly take either Joey Bosa or Jared Goff.
I don't see the Cowboys taking a QB at that spot. I do believe they're going to draft a quarterback, but I think they're going to look back and say, look, when Tony Romo was healthy, what did we do? We won 12 games. The last time Tony Romo had a healthy season. Now, you're rolling the dice to expect Tony Romo to stay healthy. And right now, you know, all the stories that are being written are RG3 does not fit in the Cowboys system, that the Cowboys will not be targeting him in free agency. Who is it? Jean-Jacques Taylor in Dallas, I think, was the first one to write about this. But others have piled on to this, that he is not a fit for the offense that Jason Garrett wants to run. Manziel may have been of interest. Is he untouchable right now? So right now, Kellen Moore, the former Boise State quarterback, who's like 3'1", is the backup on the roster, at least. So they don't want to put themselves in a situation where it's Kellen Moore at the helm trying to lead them to a postseason run. But you know, you got that balancing act. We think we're in the window. If our quarterback stays healthy, wouldn't we be better suited getting a piece that can help us win right now because it's so tough to come by those championship runs? I think that's the way they'll opt to go. But, yeah, I think, as Kiper has Bosa mentioned, it's not like Bosa didn't make sense for any team in the top five prior to Randy Gregory getting in more trouble. It's just that I think it's a little bit more likely now. Pete Prisco had a mock draft his first of the season out couple days ago. Pete Prisco, for those who don't know, is a guy. I'm kidding. Everyone knows who Pete is, right? Do they? Fortunato, thumbs up. Everyone, 91%.
Local celebrity.
Local celebrity Pete Prisco had the top five picks in the draft going this way at CBSSports.com. Tennessee Titans taking Laremy Tunsil. And again, Pete even says, take this, you know, in the spirit that it's intended. Don't hold me to it. Have fun with it like I did putting it together. Nobody holds anybody to these initial ones, I don't think. He has the Browns taking Jared Goff. You could sub in Carson Wentz. Everyone's got them taking quarterback right now, whoever their preference is. Then he's got DeForest Buckner, interesting selection out of Oregon, the defensive end. And people see him as a more of a 3-4 end or maybe a defensive tackle in a 4-3. And he's got him going to the San Diego Chargers, who do run a 3-4 defense. Jalen Ramsey going to the Cowboys, which would let Joey Bosa fall into the lap of the Jaguars. So let's say it was Ramsey and Bosa, both off the board, and the Jags love them as much as we think they would love them. Does Buckner fit what they want to do? Possibly. We heard Russ Landy say to us, what was it, a week ago, that he thinks he's going to eventually be a star in the league, about a week and a half ago, that he'll be a star in the National Football League. When did he join us? Last Wednesday? I've lost track of time, Tyler.
Yeah, last Wednesday, yeah.
These five-day work weeks are grinding me down into a nub, man. So, you know, would the Jags trade back? There's got to be somebody that's willing to come up to that spot, and typically that's because a quarterback is available. And if you're a team like San Francisco, who a lot of people have in their mock drafts taking a quarterback at number 7, well, do you trade up to 5? Well, you know the Jags aren't taking a quarterback there. Do you need to trade ahead of Baltimore? Well, they're not going to take a quarterback, and not in the top 10, even with Flacco coming off the torn ACL. So if you're a San Fran, the only reason you trade up is to secure you getting your guy and nobody jumps ahead of you. Does somebody behind them jump up? Well, the Dolphins aren't going to do it to get a quarterback. The Bucs aren't going to do it. The Giants aren't going to do it. I don't think the Bears would do it. I don't think the Saints would do it. Now you're starting to get down into the mid-teens in terms of draft picks. Would Philadelphia do it? Possibly. But you're talking, the further back you go, the more it's going to cost to come up, making it less likely, in my opinion, that any of these deals are going to get done. Not impossible, but less likely. And I think if you're Philadelphia, do you sit there and say, well, we need to get to 5 or do we need to get to 6 in front of San Francisco? So I don't know if the market's going to be there. In a year where there are allegedly a lot of defensive playmakers available, if you're looking to go on that side of the football, you probably can sit back and wait and let something good fall to you. And if you need a quarterback, I don't think you're necessary. I don't think that's the sweet spot for somebody to come up and try to grab one. The sweet spot may be San Diego if somebody thinks Dallas is going to take a quarterback and you want to get ahead of Dallas. So it would have the same effect. I'd love to see two quarterbacks go before the Jags pick. Right now, I don't think that's the likeliest of scenarios. 641-1010, if you want to get in today, that is the number. We'll talk with John Osier, the senior writer from Jaguars.com. That's coming up straight ahead. John's live in Indianapolis. We're live here at Everbank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
And we go to Indianapolis. Johnny O from Jaguars.com is with us here. Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey at Everbank Field. Fat Tony's on his way up to Indianapolis along with Frank Frangie and Rick Ballew. We'll have live shows emanating from there for the rest of the week. Let's talk to the senior writer right now, Johnny O. What's up, John? How are you, buddy?
Not a lot. I guess when I woke up this morning and saw online, I said, oh, no.
Wait. Yeah, the Fowler video. We haven't really even gotten into it yet, on this show at least, at this point in time. I mean, a strict reading of the video, for folks who don't know, TMZ posted a video, I believe it was from February 1st, if I get the date correct on this, so about a three-week-old video that someone obviously tipped them off to, according to, and I don't know the two women with them, but according to the story, apparently one of them is the mother of Dante Fowler's young child, and the other is his current girlfriend, and there's no audio, so we don't know what's being said, but basically the two girls fight in a lobby of some building where there's video right outside of an elevator, and Fowler then, after it goes on for we don't know how long it goes on, because the video breaks off to still shots of punches being thrown, not by him, he's not involved in the actual fight,
right.
Looks like he breaks it up, and to me, John, I don't want the drama in my life, and I don't necessarily want my young players having this drama in their life, but I don't think Dante Fowler's in any kind of trouble over this thing. But is this enough to be on the radar of team management that you call in Dante Fowler and just at least have a cursory conversation? And, hey, just to make sure nothing else is going to pop up, what's going on? Give us the details here.
Yeah, honestly, I sort of mentioned it at the top because the producer told me he was going to mention it. Beyond that, I just don't look at it as being – I saw it once this morning, and I'm kind of with you. I don't know that you can always control your life circumstances going on around you. You control how you act, and it didn't seem to me like he did anything that, beyond what he really could have done. So they might mention it to him. It might be a, hey, you all right? kind of thing, but I don't think it didn't look like the action that he took in the video would have caused any concern. If I was a parent in that situation, I'd look at it. I don't know what you would say to your son. You handled it fine. We're seeing are still shots in a little bit. So I just hope this doesn't become one of those where people look at it and see something that's not there. If you follow me,
or right? Well, some people will.
Yes.
The mere fact that it's on TMZ. On TMZ means it's being looked at because Dante Fowler was present at it, right? If it was just two random females having a fight, it would be on World Star Hip Hop instead, I believe.
Yeah, I guess that's my long-winded way of saying not really much of an opinion on it, because I'm not sure that he really did anything in it to have an opinion on, if that makes any sense. And
by the way,
sounds like you're saying the same thing. So.
Yeah, for now. Unless there's more to it that we don't know about, it just, for sure. I think it's responsible for the management of the team to say, hey, let's make sure there isn't anything more to it than this. But it's not something that you're going to, you know, my main thought was, hey, don't roll into his knee, please. You know, stay on the other side of the line.
And, hey, it looks pretty good.
Right. Yeah. Oh, wow. Right. I don't. He does. He looks good, and I don't want to fight either one of those women.
No, I'm not getting involved.
By the way, Fortunato gave two thumbs up. Apparently, it is World Star Hip Hop. That's where you go to watch all your ladies fighting. So that's according to Fortunato. Yeah. I'm going to take his word for it.
Let's not make too much more out of this than it actually is. I guess.
All right.
There are situations that happen. Yeah.
Yeah, but we're not going to pretend it didn't happen, and we got to mention it. And that's where it stands right now. There's really much ado about nothing at the moment, at least, and hopefully nothing to follow on that score. All right, Indy week. So, do you have an idea of the availability this week of Gus Bradley, Dave Cole, what the schedule is, and when we're going to get to hear some of their thoughts about heading into the fourth year of this duo trying to put things together? This is a critical year, John, and hopefully the last time they're picking in the top five or even the top 10 for a long, long time.
Well, and that's sort of, it's been an interesting dynamic covering the league for a while to watch that sort of develop, in that the combine has become sort of now when people expect the management of their team to sort of come up for air, if you will, from watching video, breaking down, figuring out what they're going to do in free agency. So the combine has become the day where, or at the time where teams often update that. I expect Gus Bradley to talk 10:30 Thursday, and Caldwell to talk that afternoon, 2:30, I think. And usually at the combine, the general manager is more newsworthy, unless it's a new coach, because the general manager needs to talk draft, he talks free agency. And there's a little more meat on the bone, so to speak, when the general manager talks about those things at the combine. So, yeah, it's always interesting when Dave talks about the team, because he is a general manager who doesn't mind giving you a little insight into the direction that he's thinking.
Yeah, it's such an interesting draft. We were just talking about the Dallas Cowboys' recent more issues with Randy Gregory. Does that make them more or less likely to go in a certain direction in the draft? And, the guys we have focused on that we think are clear logical fits to the Jags are Jalen Ramsey and Joey Bosa. And I've got to believe that the Cowboys would have been taking a hard look at both of them regardless, but now maybe even more so with Bosa, with Randy Gregory having issues. Here's the thing, John. We have no idea. We're sitting here really focusing in on Ramsey and Bosa. They may love DeForest Buckner. They may love Miles Jack. They may love Noah Spence. They may love somebody we don't even have in our thought process right now. So it's a bit of a guessing game for sure, like it is every year. But
that's always what happens.
Right.
That's always what happens is, you get to the draft and there's so much, and I want to put this right, there's so much consensus talk, and it's nobody in particular, but it's the noise that you get before the draft. It's me talking on your show. It's everybody in town talking about all these shows, and it sort of builds on itself, and it becomes where the public and even the media thinks that the consensus is all of these mock drafts are the consensus, and that means they're right, and if a GM doesn't pick in that order, then he's an idiot. And the reality may be, like you say, Dave may love DeForest Buckner and have him number one on his board, and he may be sitting here going, I want, if anything falls, I'm going to take him. And if Jalen Ramsey and Joey Bosa and DeForest Buckner are all sitting there, he may like this guy best and think that everybody else in the world is nuts for not agreeing with him.
Right, and he can't go on the consensus sort of opinion. He's got to go on his own evaluation, yeah.
And he can't, and he's never, all these questions I get in the Ozone, and you get them on your show. What will the Jaguars do if Bosa and Ramsey are sitting there? And it's like, look, we can talk about that for 60 days, and I'll give my opinion, but I have no idea what they'll do if Bosa and Ramsey are sitting there. I think pass rusher makes sense because you got to get to the quarterback, and everybody knows that in this league. But to think that we know exactly what they're going to do, no, and you know what? We shouldn't. If Dave did tell us, he'd be an idiot, and he's not an idiot, so we're not going to know.
Right. No, I'm with you. And, you think logically, we sit there and say, Bosa, the big guys help the back end more than vice versa. But he's also talked about how difficult it is to find that, you know, front line free safety, that sideline to sideline guy, and if you feel Ramsey's going to be that. Of course, Dave Caldwell should then talk about every prospect in this, like you're saying. He shouldn't tip his hand. He should be talking up all of these guys and leaving us in a state of confusion. I think the bottom line is right now it's starting to look like, regardless of it's Ramsey or Bosa, they're going to have their choice between some really good defensive players at five if they just sit right where they're at.
Well, and what gets interesting, of course, is you've got Noah Spence there, who is a big-time pass rusher, and we all know the off-field, the ideal with him. But, you know, when you look at this guy, guys like that don't come along that often. And then DeForest Buckner is also a guy who is everybody you talk to around the league, there aren't very many flaws in this guy. So, as you said, I think there are three or four defensive players who look like they can be impact guys. And what you don't really know is exactly what value does Dave put on, okay, I've got Fowler, who's a pass rusher, so I get DeForest Buckner, who's another versatile guy, and now I've got two versatile guys on the defensive front. That's a good thing. You know, you just don't know exactly what value he puts on that versus the grade of the player. I don't think they'll go corner number one, meaning top five, because I think he's more of a pass rush guy than he is a corner guy. But beyond that, he hadn't really tipped his hand on very much.
No. All right, John, for the next couple days, as things just start to get cranked up in Indianapolis, kind of map out what folks can look for at Jaguars.com and what you're looking to get accomplished.
Well, tomorrow is kind of a warm-up day, to be honest with you. Our big day is Dave and Gus talk on Thursday. And tomorrow is it's running backs, offensive linemen. So I'll be looking, you know, I want to hear Laramie Tunsil talk. And I'm trying to get a hold of Dave on a couple of topics today, maybe run down to the site tomorrow. But Thursday is really the day where things will get going. I think what's really interesting about this team right now, you know, Dave Caldwell has a really big few weeks coming up in free agency. And this is really the first time that there's been an urgency in free agency in terms of, hey, people are expecting him to sign guys that are going to make a huge impact on the field next year on defense. And it's an interesting free agency period because everybody's got a lot of money. So it's going to be a competitive market out there. And I believe he can do it because he's shown in the past that he is good in that room when he gets guys on the phone. You know he got Otter here last year. He got Thomas here last year. But it's going to be some selling going on. And I think it's going to be an interesting few weeks for Dave Caldwell on that front.
And let me just ask you as we wrap up here, final thought. If Alex Mack, the Cleveland Browns center who the Jags signed to an offer sheet 2 years ago and Cleveland matched, does opt out, as the reporting seems to indicate he will, of his contract, he's 30 years old, still regarded as one of the better centers in the league, do you think the Jags will pursue him once again?
It's logical they would. I mean, now, the weird thing about that is every story you saw yesterday was Alex Mack could opt out, but it was immediately followed by, and could resign with the Browns. So I don't know with the changes going on up there, if he is necessarily hell-bent on leaving if he opts out, the way it felt like he sort of would be after what happened 2 years ago, if that makes sense.
It was sort of a given. He wanted out.
2 years. It doesn't really feel as much like that from everything I read. You know, I don't know any behind-the-scenes stuff with Alex Mack, but it doesn't really feel like he's automatically opting out to get out. So, again, I think there's going to be a lot of selling going on in free agency because everybody's got so much money, and a lot of these teams have the same needs. So it's not necessarily going to be a situation where the Jaguars are the only player going after X player. We have, you know, the only team going after X player. So I think it's going to be a very interesting few days when that thing opens.
All right, John, have a good week up in Indy. We'll hopefully catch up with you, if the schedule permits, sometime after Thursday at 10:30. Who'd you say? Gus Bradley's talking at 10:30 on Thursday, right? That tentative,
yeah,
right now?
Yeah, 10:30. So we'll talk simply in the next couple of days for sure.
Yeah, let's do that. All right, but hey, have a good few days in Indy. We'll talk to you soon. I know you will.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
We'll see you, John. John Osier, Jaguars NFL.com, the senior writer, joining us here. Coming up, we've got This State in Football. We've got the Honda Drive around the NFL, and the phone lines are back open to you in the next segment as well. It's 641-1010. If you're on the line, stay right there. We will get to you. Coming up, we'll also hear in about 25 minutes or so some from your quarterback, Blake Bortles, some of his thoughts on the season just passed, the season to come, the offseason work that needs to be done, and the creation of his new Blake Bortles Foundation as he appeared earlier this morning with Dan and Jeff on the drill. Mike Dempsey, Tyler Devitt back at 1010XL World Headquarters. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, let's get down to it. This date in football history for February 23rd. Let's go back. It's a birthday-filled day. Not a whole lot of NFL milestones on this particular day. But Tom Osborne, you recognize him more as being the head coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers for a long, long time. I guess the former athletic director now there, as well as former congressman from the state of Nebraska. Was born on this day, 79 years ago. Osborne had, how about this for a coaching record? It was a little ridiculous. I mean, he did play or coach in the Big Eight for a number of years when it was pretty much Nebraska and Oklahoma and nobody else. But 255 wins, 49 losses, and three ties. 255 and 49 with three ties, 13 conference titles, three national championships. He was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame as a coach in 1999. He also played briefly as a wide receiver in the National Football League for the Washington Redskins for a couple of seasons in the early 1960s. Born on this date in 1953, we missed him on Radio Row this year, Tyler. Fred Biletnikoff, the NFL, former NFL wide receiver. Yes, the Florida State standout, the guy who the Collegiate Wide Receiver Annual Award is named for, and a six-time Pro Bowler at the NFL level, two-time first-team All-Pro and a Hall of Fame inductee in 1988. Fred Biletnikoff, born on this date in 1943. Happy 73rd. 1951, Ed Too Tall Jones, NFL linebacker with the Dallas Cowboys, three-time Pro Bowler.
We
sat down with Ed and we talked with Ed, and I always enjoy hearing the stories about his boxing career. You know, he stepped away in the middle of his NFL career. Always loved boxing. He said it was his favorite sport still, the favorite thing he liked. He got to try it out and come back. He did Jordan before Jordan did Jordan, stepping away. Did not make the Hall of Fame, however. He's 65 years old. Ryan Grigson, currently the general manager of the hated Indianapolis Colts, turns 44 years old today. He actually played a season with the Lions, was drafted, I want to say, by Cincinnati in the 1990s. Didn't make the cut, stuck with the Lions for a year, and then an injury basically ended his playing career after one season in the league. He is 44 years old today. Born in the state in 1981. We caught up with this guy at Media Day at the Super Bowl. Charles Tillman went ring chasing after a long career with the Chicago Bears. Caught on with the Carolina Panthers this year. He was injured and couldn't play in the postseason. Tillman turns 35 years old. He has 38 interceptions in his career. Also 12 fumble recoveries. Has had a knack for forcing turnovers, obviously. And then happy birthday, the most important one, since Derek Marks of your Jacksonville Jaguars turns 29 years young today. So congrats to Sen for making it to almost 30. And hopefully he is going to be in fantastic shape, ready to roll for all the offseason stuff, training camp, and has a healthy 2016. If a healthy 2016 Sen Derek Marks shows up and stays healthy, I think you're going to see this guy get back to his previous form. I think he's still young enough and can recapture some of that explosiveness with another year in between the injury, the ACL injury, another off season in the rear view by the time 2016 rolls around. So there you go. A lot of famous birthdays for today, and that is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Yeah, Mike, the Colts GM Grigson was drafted by the Bengals in the sixth round, 175 overall, 95 draft. Yes. The 49ers have a new head coach in Chip Kelly, and he has a decision to make in this upcoming season as he has two quarterbacks to choose from. Blaine Gabbert, the Jaguars fans' favorite, and Colin Kaepernick. The 49ers will owe Kaepernick a full base salary of his $11.9 million if he remains on the roster for the 49ers April 1st. So that means he can be pushed out of San Francisco. And according to NFL insider Ian Rappaport, Kaepernick is, quote, more than open to returning to San Francisco for the 2016 season. Bengals linebacker Vontaze Burfict had some malicious moments during last season, but Burfict told ESPN's Josina Anderson that he knows he has to change his style of play. Everyone remembers the nasty hit he put on Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown, and he told Anderson that on that play, quote, "I tried to pull up the last second, but obviously it was too late. It was a bang-bang play," end quote. I don't know if I buy that, Mike.
Yeah, I'm not buying that in the least bit.
Absolutely.
And he tried to
this is maybe
up,
even better, Mike. Burfict believes refs are singling him out due to his reputation. "I play hard," quote, "sometimes it gets me in trouble. My style of play is aggressive and the game has changed. I have to change with it." And that play right there, I think if it wasn't number 55, it wouldn't have gotten flagged. I don't know about that, Vontez.
I don't know about that, but if you take it at face value, yeah, you do need to change. You know, you could sit there and say, "Oh, this isn't football. This is not the way I was taught." Well, tough. It's the way it is now. That's just the way it is. If you want to play in the league and not be subject to these fines and, you know, possible suspensions and hurt your team in that regard, then you're going to have to change a little bit. And, you know, look, I was talking about this. I had a couple of relatives in this weekend, and we're talking about how my cousin Mike and I were talking about how, you know, football's changing the perception. You're starting to see some former players say, "Hey, you know what? Given the choice, I don't want my kid to play tackle football." I know it's not an overwhelming majority, and then they'll say it, and then everyone will go, "Whoa, whoa, what? What did you say?" And then they kind of backpedal away from, "Well, you know, no, I don't want to disparage the game that put me in this position to, you know, take care of my family after, you know, I retired." But you heard it with Antoine Randle L saying that, you know, had he had things to do differently, he might have gone the baseball route had he known, you know, what kind of injuries he would suffer in football and what it would do to his mental acuity. And then he kind of tried to back away from those comments a little bit as well. But you're starting to see more and more people considering the way they play the game. Vontaze Burfict, I don't doubt, Tyler, that guys that get a reputation, first of all, you earn the reputation usually. But once you get it, there probably are, you know, an occasional flag or something that may be borderline with somebody else that draws a flag for you that another player who doesn't have that reputation might be given the benefit of the doubt. But I don't think in the case of the Antonio Brown play that qualifies for that. So there you have it.
Yeah. Two more stories here in the Honda Driver.
Oh, you got two more stories?
I got two more. It's an extended
edition. I was just jumping
edition.
Right now. I thought you were done. Please go.
Absolutely.
Continue.
Let's keep it rolling here on the Honda Driver on the NFL. Jameis Winston made the Pro Bowl in his rookie season with the Bucs.
He's a fat boy.
Oh, and this story is about him being fat. And he told Peter King of the MMQB.com that he learned some lessons from his experience in Hawaii, Mike. "The most important thing I learned is that I have to get my body in shape because those men look real good," Winston said. "And not just the other quarterbacks, everyone. Their bodies look real good. But also Russell Wilson's preparation at the Pro Bowl. You know, it's a relaxing event and he is still doing everything the right way. He's the first one to the huddle, leading the guys in stretches, running everywhere you go." That was Jameis on Russell Wilson. So learning some lessons. Russell Wilson still being a tryhard out at the Pro Bowl. It's awesome. And one final story here, Mike, in the Honda Driver on the NFL. NFL media insider Ian Rappaport reported on Monday that Pro Bowl center Alex Mack is expected to opt out of his current deal with the Browns, according to multiple sources. Rappaport said a new contract between Mack and the Browns is still a real possibility. He is 30, entering his eighth season.
Yeah, and I heard, you know, we had this conversation with John Osier not 20 minutes ago about maybe not 30 minutes ago, but you get the point, about Alex Mack and the reporting. And as he said, he didn't have any insight particularly into this other than seeing the reporting seem to say, well, it's not a foregone conclusion that if he opts out that he's leaving. Look, if who's giving Rappaport the story, first of all? It's probably Alex Mack's agent, right, that he is considering opting out. He's trying to float a trial balloon
leverage
out there to see. Right, well, he wants to see other teams come to him at the combine and say, hey, if you do opt out, don't forget about us. But you're right, leverage, that's the key word. If you eliminate the Browns from consideration, whether you publicly eliminate them from consideration, you're not going to probably get the best deal. If they have a chance, you know, they know what you're capable of. Now, the thing that would be interesting is if he opted out at $8 million per over the next 3 years, I think is what the average is, and the Browns were like, yeah, we'll give you five. they're the ones who know him better than anybody. Joe Thomas still calls him the best center in the league. I think the Jags would definitely be interested, and you hope that there was some genuine interest on his part, but there had to have been because there was a chance when he signed the deal with the Jaguars 2 years ago that the Browns wouldn't match that deal. And if that were the case, he would have been playing here in Jacksonville for the last couple of years with the right to opt out right now, which he may have done anyway, even if he wanted to stay here, because the Jags are flush with cap space. And he knows lots of teams are flush with cap space and could probably use his services, even contending teams. And really, if you're going from Cleveland, there's not much further down you can go on a year-to-year basis. Any given year, certainly, there are teams worse than the Browns. Not many this year, right? Just one in Tennessee. But, you know, over an extended period of time, over the length of his career, how good have the Browns been? Not very. Doesn't mean the Jags have been much better in that stretch of time. In fact, over the last 4 years, they've been worse collectively. But, you know, times change. How good would it look to have Alex Mack, Brandon Linder, Jeremy Parnell from center over to right tackle with maybe A.J. Cann pushing and winning that left guard spot? And please, 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 an improved Luke Jokel for 2016 or what have you. I mean, I just think that one piece alone with Wisniewski gone, that's the biggest question mark right now on the offensive side of the football for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Who snaps the ball to Blake Bortles this year? Speaking of Blake Bortles, the Blake Bortles Foundation is a reality, and he has put this in, and you'll hear it in his own words in a minute, but according to the website BlakeBortlesFoundation.com, where you can find out about the foundation, find out about the golf tournament that he's got coming up in April at King and the Bear, which I played yesterday. Spectacular, but I shouldn't have to tell you that. If you've ever played out at the World Golf Village, when has it ever not been in spectacular shape? But Blake's stated goals to establish a foundation were to support children with intellectual and developmental challenges in their pursuit of full independent lives, and he's been doing this back in his hometown of Oviedo for a number of years. And also, in addition to that, helping out on the kids' front, provide support to first responders with the goal of improving their ability to safely carry out their vital life-saving work. So, good stuff. Blake Bortles, will hear some of his thoughts coming up in a moment. He appeared on The Drill this morning with Dan Hicken and Jeff Prosser here on 1010XL. Also, if you want to weigh in on the fan feedback question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, what you do is you can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Tyler, and on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Just asking you today, should the Jags pursue any of the trio of Rams released over the weekend? Chris Long, the defensive end, James Laurinaitis, their linebacker, and Jared Cook, the tight end, of course, formerly a Tennessee Titan as well. You can weigh in on that those ways and on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. 641-1010 is the number if you'd like to break in with a call. But Blake Bortles' thoughts coming up next right here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL on 92.5 FM.
Probably it has to be the Buffalo game in London.
Yeah.
The swing of emotions throwing one of those horrible pick sixes to having, you know, a good drive to win
great
the game.
Great drive.
Hurts making an unbelievable
great catch, great throw.
Was pretty cool, and it makes that, you know, that 9-hour plane ride a lot more easier.
Second down and 5, 2:30 to play. Under center is Bortles. Play fake. Blake running to the left now, stays behind the line, fires toward the end zone, wants Allen Hurns, diving attempt, touchdown Jacksonville! Hurns, a diving touchdown catch!
Blake Bortles talking about his favorite moment from the regular season, the fact that they could beat Buffalo after overcoming some adversity, right? They had really let Buffalo hand it back into the lead in that football game, and it would have been what looked like a Jags blowout victory would have been one of the most disappointing regular season defeats probably in franchise history.
I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, Mike, but that. How much of that victory came because we were facing E.J. Manuel?
Well, it didn't hurt, right? I mean, but E.J. Manuel, they allowed to make plays. I don't know if E.J. – and I don't want to say E.J. Manuel made plays because E.J. Manuel hasn't shown a propensity for making plays in the National Football League, but they hit some plays, right? And who knows what would have happened had Tyrod Taylor been in there? Maybe the Bills, you know, lead from the outset. We just don't know, you know. But I don't worry about that kind of thing too much, Tyler. It just
because it's a win. Forget about it. Move on.
Well, you know what? I mean, you look at the Indy game. We don't sit here and say. I mean, we do recognize that. Man, it sucked that Hasselbeck was able to beat the Jags, right? But we don't sit here very much and dwell on. Man, it was Hasselbeck. You know, we dwell on the fact that you got to kick field goals when you've got the opportunity to kick field goals. And Jason Myers didn't come through for the Jags that day. And I think if you look back and he had hit that at the end of the game or in overtime, you'd be sitting there just saying, you know what, they found a way to overcome and beat Indianapolis. Yeah, albeit with Matt Hasselbeck. Look, guys get hurt. They're always good players. You know what, they beat anyone who beat the Jags without Dante Fowler Jr., right? The guy they expected to be an impact player for him. Quite likely beat the Jags without Cinderic Marks. He didn't play a ton this year. I understand the quarterback position and the importance there, but I just I'm not going to worry too much about the fact that it was EJ Manuel. This is more about, to me, Blake Bortles showing, hey, you know what? I can throw a crippling interception, and I can come back and overcome that and not go into the tank and shut down. And so, hey, as Dan Hicken said at the top of the program when we were talking back and forth about what Blake needs to do to improve this year, just cut down the interceptions. You won't have to overcome as many, right? Just cut them down to 8 to 10 in that range. I'll take 10 right now. I will take 10 right now because I believe Blake will throw about 30 touchdowns next year. You know, if the running game's better and if the defense is better and they are able to run the football effectively in the second half of games in which they hopefully have some leads, the overall passing numbers might come down a smidge. But I still think with the weapons that he has, 30 touchdowns is a very reasonable goal or milestone that he could hit when you consider Julius Thomas wasn't a big factor, certainly in the first half of the season. And really, based on the way he looked in the offseason, I don't think they ever fully integrated him the way they wanted to. If they can figure out that balance between Robinson, Hurns, and Thomas primarily, and then mix in some Rashad Green and Marquise Lee, and you got something there. Whether you're running the ball well or not, you got too many weapons and too good an emerging core of skill position guys not to score a bunch of touchdowns through the air. But let's get to what Blake had to say this morning on the drill. And he talked about, as we well know and documented, his trips to work with Tom House, the quarterback mechanics guru, if you will, former major league pitcher. But he's carved out a niche for himself doing this, working with quarterbacks in the offseason. Blake's been one of those guys, and he's talked about this process.
Yeah, last year was definitely the complete makeover. You know, went out there with, you know, kind of nothing, and then came back with kind of this toolkit of things to do and how to fix different things, and really a new motion. So this year it's kind of starting from a different point. We're working on different things. I'm not out there as much, obviously. I'll just go for a week here and there. And kind of do some little stuff, really just kind of, it's really based from probably my hips down, lower body type stuff, and I'll go out there and find some things and then come back and work on them here. So it's a little different.
Those are accuracy. I mean, what is the big picture goal you're trying to, is it just tightening up 100% top to bottom, or is there certain?
You know, I'd say the number one thing is, how do I throw more efficiently? Really, I guess it's kind of the broad way of putting it. You know, how do I use my body to kind of take some of the stress off my arm and do things like that? So I think it's kind of this year, it's the more of the little details, the attention to details and stuff like that, and tightening things up.
I will say this. I think that, you know, Blake having the arm issues as a rookie, the tired arm, the dead arm, however you want to phrase it, and is part of, A, you're playing a lot more football than ever before, even in college. You're the grind of the NFL, well documented, is much more intense in terms of the actual football. And B, when he talks about with the mechanics, if your body's not in sync and you're an arm thrower, you're going to put your arm in positions where you're going to strain it the way some quarterbacks that have compact mechanics might not on a down in, down out basis. And I think for the most part, talking to Blake at the Super Bowl, he felt like they held up pretty good, the mechanics did this year. So you always want to go in a little fine-tuning, but it's nice to hear there's not another major overhaul, another major step in the process of making those mechanics what you want them to be. Blake was asked about, where does he see evidence of himself and this team getting better in 2015?
Gus isn't a guy that's going to come out and talk about winning and losing games, but, you know, it's evident. You from my rookie year to winning three games and kind of the year we had offensively, and then last year and we win five games, right? So you say it's complete. There's concrete evidence that we're getting better. Mm-hmm. Every single number in every single category offensively is better, and I think the results are now what's next to come. I mean, it's the only other thing, and I think we're headed that direction. And a second year in the system for everybody, I think it's going to be huge.
Yeah, just look at the numbers, like you said. You know, the wins can be funny things, right? You make a field goal, you miss a field goal. That has no bearing on any work Blake did. He put him in position to get a field goal opportunity. You know, is Tom Brady a better quarterback because Russell Wilson threw an interception at the goal line in the Super Bowl? You know, is everyone on the Patriots that much better for adding another Super Bowl championship to the resume that – they may not have anything to do with the ultimately deciding play. So wins can be a funny thing. It's like in baseball, pitcher, you look at his ERA, you look at his whip, and the one-loss record can fluctuate from year to year, and it's not always reflective of the work that you put in. But clearly the numbers in terms of the passing explosiveness, the offense, the scoring rising like it did in 2015 from 2014. I don't question at all that there's plenty of evidence of the offense as a whole getting better. Still a lot of work to do. This offensive line needs to open up some running lanes. They need to be able to run the ball, as they've talked about, when they want to, when the other team knows it's coming, and be able to impose your will. They need to keep guys healthy. They need Blake Bortles. I do think he needs to be more efficient, and it's great. And I understand what Dan Hicken was saying earlier. I'll take the 58% completion percentage if he just cuts down the interceptions, but let's have it all. Let's not just settle for that. Let's get it up in the mid-60s, not just get it to 60%. The really great quarterbacks out there are hitting 64, 65, and north of that in terms of completion percentage in their better years. So I want to see Blake move towards that eventually. There's no reason why he can't grow in that direction. Blake Bortles talked about Allen Robinson, obviously. Tremendous breakout season for him, 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns, and what kind of work they plan on getting done together this offseason.
I mean, he's pretty special, and, you know, they're called 50-50 balls, but with him we call him 75-25 balls because he goes and gets them and does that. And, you know, they've done an unbelievable job. Him, Hearns, Marquise, Rashad, you know, all those guys have – they're here, they're working in the offseason, which is really cool. No other team in the NFL is doing that has, you know, really a whole unit of guys together. So we can go throw and work on different things, you know, with the high school across the river and do stuff.
There you go. I like it. The more they're all together, it can only help. I don't think it can hurt. And I like to see these guys staying, you know, that their focus and their priority right now is football. You know, I mean, look, there are a lot more cosmopolitan cities you can spend your off season in than Jacksonville, Florida. No offense. I love it here on the First Coast. But if you're a young guy with money, I mean, you can go anywhere you want. You can, you know, and I'm not saying they won't vacation in different spots, but the plan to be together in the 904 area code and getting that work in, I think, should make every Jaguar fan optimistic. Blake was asked this morning by the guys on the drill about the possibility. Look, if they don't win games, ultimately, if it doesn't work, despite the best laid plans, changes ultimately get made. Has he thought about the possibility of not being able to keep this core together if they don't win enough games starting soon?
We all get that. We're not, you know, naive enough to believe that if we keep, you know, statistically getting better and not producing results, mm-hmm. that we're going to be able to all stay together forever. You know, we see that and understand that wins is really what drives this business and this league. And, you know, in order to keep all the pieces in place, that's what you have to do. You have to be able to produce. And that's really what we're working on.
Yeah, no question. Win more games, period. If nobody's going to keep it all together if you're consistently averaging four wins a season as the Jags have done for the last 3 years. The difference for Blake between his first and second seasons in the league, here's what he had to say about that.
It's kind of a rookie year. You're kind of just running around with your head cut off. And,
right.
You know, last year you feel better and, you know, feel like you belong and can make plays and be a part of this team that, you know, is kind of on a mission to be successful. And, you know, I think going into the third year and even, you know, watching everything from last year, you mm-hmm. know, you have those moments and it's like, wow, I'll never do that again. Like, that was bad. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think you grow and learn from all those moments. And then, you know, I think going into this year, it'll be, you know, your mindset kind of changes. Things slow down for you, kind mm-hmm. of a cliche saying. And you feel like you belong and you're able to help your team and be successful.
A few more thoughts here from Blake Bortles. Again, the Blake Bortles Foundation is just launched, and you go to BlakeBortlesFoundation.com to find out more about their upcoming events, including their golf tournament in April, which is stacked with a bunch of country music acts performing both Friday and Saturday night. There's going to be, it looks like, dueling concerts on the weekend on the Friday night and Saturday night for all these different acts coming in to support the Blake Bortles Foundation. Pretty remarkable, actually, I thought, how many he was able to put together and his folks working with him were able to put together. Again, go to BlakeBortlesFoundation.com to get more details on all of that. And as we wrap up our thoughts here with Blake Bortles, he talked about with Dan and Jeff this morning on the drill, one final thing here, the draft prospects, deciding, making that decision this week. Do I throw at the combine? Do I not throw at the combine? Blake did throw at the combine, and that's right, I said combine. I kind of said it like that. And I don't think it hurt him. Certainly, I think it helped him. And let's just hear what he had to say, and I'll tell you what I think about it.
There's a lot that goes into it, you know.
Yeah.
There's some every now and then you get a guy that's banged up or something, or there's not everybody knows about an injury and he doesn't want to exploit it by throwing.
Okay,
so I get that, but I mean, I think if you're healthy and you don't throw, you're wasting the opportunity. You get, I mean, how many chances to throw in front of every GM, owner, and head coach in the NFL was kind of my thing, and you know, it was all go compete and throw anywhere you want, and I think it helped me out. And I was kind of happy to see all the guys doing it this year. I think it's cool to get that going again. And because it kind of, you know, it's not like they expect you to be perfect. The guys understand you're throwing guys you've never met before.
Right.
And it's a, you know, uncomfortable environment. And, you know, the coaches and everybody gets that. So,
well, you hope they get that. Right. But ultimately, you know, when are you going to get a chance to throw in front of all these guys? Every time you play college football. Isn't that what they always say? The tape doesn't lie. Right. The tape. So, you know, don't tell me it can't hurt you, because these guys that have shaky workouts, Teddy Bridgewater had a shaky workout. Now, it wasn't at the combine. It was at his pro day where he threw, and people were questioning what the hell's going on with this guy. Was he nervous? He couldn't make the throws. He was skipping balls. He was bouncing them, what have you. Did it have an effect? I don't know, but Teddy Bridgewater at one point was thought maybe to be the first pick in the draft now prior to his final season at Louisville, albeit, but then he comes back, and the Vikings have to trade into the back end of round one and grab him maybe with the 32nd pick, if I'm not mistaken. It was right down at the end, regardless. So it can hurt you if you don't perform well. And you could say that, you know, I want to be a competitor. Look, it's great if you do and you perform well, and Blake did, and that's fantastic. And that's the mantra that the NFL tries to push on you. Compete, 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 compete. Well, you know what? This is business too, all right? And if you're the kind of prospect that is in a position, and I'm not saying everyone's there, and I'm not saying there's one quarterback candidate in this position this year, but on a year-by-year basis, if you're the guy who thinks, hey, I'm right now, based on my body of work, a lock. All I need to do is throw well one time, be it here or be it at my pro day. All I got to do is one or the other. And if I'm going to be more comfortable and more successful doing it at my pro day, or I'm going to like the environment and I'm going to work with guys that I've worked with throughout my collegiate career, in the end, if you do it well whenever the opportunity arises, the one advantage you have is if you throw poorly at the combine, you can make it up at your pro day. If you throw great at the combine, you don't have to throw at your pro day, typically. But and I think there's a lot of this going on, and a lot of guys, young guys, buy into this whole NFL thing that they're trying to preach, compete, 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 compete at any point in time. Well, up to a point. I mean, and again, do what you think benefits you, with hopefully good input and advice from an agent that's been around the block a little bit, because I don't think it's one size fits all about guys. Some guys work out at the combine, they work out terrifically, and they fool teams. Other teams are going to say, you know what, he didn't show that on tape to me. A lot of different ways to do it, but I think the NFL pressure machine is in full gear right now. You got guys like Blake Bortles buying into it. I'm not saying he doesn't believe it. I think probably a lot of guys do believe that, and they do try to tap into that competitive gene, so to speak, with the players that are showing up there who want to get drafted as high as possible. What are you afraid of? They did it to Calvin Johnson, right? Calvin Johnson wasn't going to run, and he didn't even bring his cleats, and they're like, come on, man, we all came to see you run. And they threw on somebody's cleats and ran 4.3. And, you know, was Calvin Johnson not going to be selected high if he didn't run that 40-yard dash, if he worked out great at his Georgia Tech Pro Day with the film that he had coming into the league and the measurables that he had? Of course he was going to be drafted highly anyway. But they showed up, so they expect you to show up and not waste their time. Well, you know, that's up to you if it's a business decision. I've seen it work both ways. So I'm not going to get too bent out of shape by anybody who opts to not do anything, whether that's Laquon Treadwell, who this year now it appears will not run the 40 at the combine. Look, the guy's not going to run fast anyway. Everything with Laquon Treadwell, they're trying to prepare you for him to run by what many would consider NFL standards a pedestrian time. He's going to try to maximize his one opportunity, do it at his pro day, doing it on a familiar surface, what have you, and put himself maybe, you know, do another month of speed training before he gets to that point to really maximize his ability to maybe put up a 4.49 or a low 4.5 time in the 40, which, by the way, they're talking about Laquon Treadwell right now, would cement him as the top wide receiver in the draft. So do what you need to do to make your own draft stock as high as you need to make it, with, you know, reasonable input from people advising you that have your best interest at heart. Glad Blake Bortles could join Dan and Jeff this morning in studio, by the way, at 1010XL World Headquarters. And again, we encourage you to check out BlakeBortlesFoundation.com for more information about his newly founded charitable endeavor, BlakeBortlesFoundation.com. Mike Dempsey here with you. Tyler Devitt back at 1010XL World Headquarters. Fat Tony's got the day off, heading up to Indianapolis to cover the combine. We'll talk with him over the course of the next 3 days live from Indy. Frank Franchi and Rick Ballew will be up there as well doing their afternoon show over the next several days. So you can check out the full coverage here on 1010XL and 1010XL.com as well. If you missed the Blake Bortles interview, by the way, this morning, you can get the whole thing in its entirety at 1010XL.com in the on-demand section. Coming back, we'll look at the fan feedback spotlight asking you today, should the Jags pursue or have any interest in the trio of James Laurinaitis, Chris Long, and or Jared Cook recently released by the St. Louis Rams? We'll do that next. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. I'm interested, Tyler, to see the outcome of Tony Romo's lawsuit suing the National Football League. Well, you remember he had that the fantasy draft weekend set up in Vegas last year.
And you were supposed to go, and we were so disappointed it kind of foiled.
Oh, yeah, I was going to go. I think Tony and I were both going to go to it. It's going to be spectacular. So I'm personally interested. I'm always interested to see what's going on with the fantasy sports community out there. But the NFL, according to Tony Romo, claims that they improperly shut down his convention in Las Vegas over concerns that the event was being held on property owned by a casino. Meanwhile, you know, the Raiders have expressed interest in moving to Las Vegas, and there have been others who have had training camp practices at sites that are loosely connected to casinos as well and things like that. So, you know, is there a double standard, what have you? Well, probably so. And the NFL probably thinks that they should be making all the money on everything and not Tony Romo and the group that he had associated himself with. So we'll see how that whole thing
Did you see him out at Radio Row at all? Tony Romo was walking around.
Did you? I don't know if I saw Tony. No, I don't think I did.
Yeah, I saw him walking around. He was back in the Sirius area, back there in that secluded area behind the stage, and he was talking with Nick Lachey. And I don't know if you caught the Mountain Dew commercial with the puppy monkey baby.
The puppy monkey baby.
And monkey baby. Tony Romo, when I saw him at the Super Bowl Radio Row, was holding on to the puppy monkey baby.
Was he now?
Yeah, he was walking around. The puppy monkey baby was doing media appearances all day on Radio Row, and Tony Romo wanted a picture with it. So I was about 2 feet away from Tony Romo with the puppy monkey baby.
Did the commercial debut during the Super Bowl?
Yes, I believe it did. I think it's still running, actually.
It's definitely still running. I mean, because I saw it yesterday. My cousin Peggy's like, I hate this commercial. I'm like, I've got an 11-year-old son, and he thinks it's hilarious. And thus, Daddy kind of thinks it's hilarious as well. And because my beautiful bride, Heather, does not appreciate the humor of the puppy monkey baby. And so then every time it comes on television, Colin and I may end up dancing like the puppy monkey baby around the house. But that's
so how's his lawsuit going, you were saying? His lawsuit?
I have no idea. No? Doesn't matter. It hasn't kicked off yet, but it's getting ready to start up. So we'll see how it all goes down. But I'm more interested now in discussing the origins of the puppy monkey baby. Like, who was interviewing the puppy monkey baby when they didn't even know what the puppy monkey baby was yet, right? I mean, it hadn't debuted yet throughout the week. So I guess that's why they had him out there, to get a little publicity for the puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. I like it. What can I tell you? I'm a simple man. All right. The fan feedback question of the day asked you, should the Jags pursue, would you like to see them pursue any of the trio of recently released St. Louis Rams? James Laurinaitis, all-time leading tackler for the Rams. Chris Long, who, you know, has had a couple of down seasons by his own admission, after, I think, having like 20 sacks in the two prior seasons combined. Jared Cook, who is a talented athlete and looks like he should be one of those tight ends that's putting up ridiculous numbers if he were in the right offense. They gave him a big contract to go to St. Louis, and it never got off the ground, really, him being that really explosive element on a team devoid of playmakers in the passing game. So we asked you today, would you like to see the Jags pursue any of them? And I got a lot of no across the board. You know, too old, too old. People want everybody. I say people. A lot of people would like every free agent to be signed to be 25 and 26 years old. This is not, to me, it's just not realistic. And look, if you think they can't play anymore, fine. Chris Long's age doesn't scare me off. If I think there are reasons why he underperformed over the last couple of years, if I think he is healthy now, I would definitely at least kick the tires, the expression we like to use, right? Check him out and see if he had an interest level and what he's looking to make and how he would fit in with your defense. I would be interested. The Jags need pass rush. Again, Dwight Freeney. And again, Dwight Freeney, much better player than Chris Long has been overall in the sum total of things. Very effective as a situational pass rusher in the second half of the season for the Arizona Cardinals at the age of 36. So just because you've hit your 30th birthday doesn't mean you cannot be effective there. But overall, most people are like, nah, you know, Laurinaitis duplicates what Posluszny gives you, and the age, if it's an upgrade, it's not much of one, and the age is only a couple of years different. Jared Cook, you know, I think the feeling is you've got Julius Thomas as your pass-catching guy. You need more conventional, you know, blocking-type tight ends. What Mercedes Lewis is reputedly, all right, that's who he is by reputation. They couldn't run the ball this year. How effective was Mercedes Lewis blocking this year? They could not run the football effectively this year. He's the non-factor in the passing game. Somebody pointed out that, no, Mercedes is much better than Jared Cook. Is he? I mean, I don't know. In the area of blocking, maybe he is. I don't know if Jared Cook is much of a blocker. I don't think he has much of a reputation as one. But is he? Based on what exactly? I mean, if Mercedes Lewis is his dominant blocking force, why have the Jags not been able to run the football? You know, what has he contributed to this football team? I'm not saying they won't bring him back for the right price. I just don't know how excited you need to be about him coming back. I mean, how impactful will that be on the football field? I'll just read you two responses that are at the opposite end of the spectrum. Joshua Lee Wright on Facebook, on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, says, I'd be interested in seeing him pursue all three. Long might be up there a bit in age, but he's better than anybody we have off the edge right now on this roster. Dante Fowler to be determined. Laurinaitis is a younger and faster Posluszny, and Cook could be a respectable tight end to complement Thomas. I'm not saying sign all three, but it doesn't hurt to take a look at them, especially the guys on defense, hashtag Jaguars Today. Now, Maurice Freeman went the other way. He said, nah, Chris Long is the younger version of Chris Clemens equals done. We don't need Laurinaitis because of Posluszny. We need to develop a future middle linebacker, not overpay for a starter just to be a backup. We don't need Jared Cook because of Julius Thomas. Obviously, I understand we have a lot of cap space, but there's a difference between spending wisely and just spending just because you can. Look, nobody's advocating spending necessarily. I'm just saying take a look. I think it's worth taking a look at Chris Long. Now, the stories I saw yesterday indicate that there may be contenders lining up to sign Chris Long. And maybe they'll check him out and say, you know what, we change our tune. We're going to line up to check him out. We may not line up to sign him. But if they see something of value in this guy, I got to believe there may be something of value in this guy. And despite having a lull in his career, you got to determine, is that lull indicative of the end has come in terms of his effectiveness, or can he reclaim some of the form he had, and what were the conditions that went into him not performing as well as he has the last couple of years? None of these guys, I think, would make or break the fortunes of the Jags, but Chris Long, at least to me, would be interesting enough to check out and see what he's looking to do, how would he fit with your defense, and I'm sure the Jags are doing their due diligence on all these guys like they do on everybody who's available to be signed out there. Right? That's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow, Fat Tony will join me live from Indianapolis as he'll be up there for the scouting combine for the rest of the week, so we'll get some insight into how things are progressing over the course of the week. As John Osier told you earlier, not exactly an action-packed day tomorrow. Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell is expected to speak with the media on Thursday. Gus will speak during the show, so hopefully we'll be able to get John or one of our guys up there on who's in attendance and get some feedback immediately here on the program for that. So thanks to Johnny O for stopping by today. Thanks to all of you out there for participating in the program, either by listening or sending your comments via various social media. For Fat Tony, who's got the day off, for Joe Fortunato, for Tyler Devitt, I'm Mike Dempsey. That does it. You're welcome. Thank you. For Jaguars Today, we're all done, and we'll say hello to the boys of XL Primetime coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.
Woo! That's great job!